Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Wick.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, we're 2 weeks removed, almost 3 weeks removed from the elections.
That's right, and who is that, Trump's?
And we still haven't gotten a definitive answer. I mean, we know. I would say 99% of the American public knows.
Yes, sir.
But the current administration will not admit to the fact that we do have a new president.
They haven't conceded. There was like it won't be no concessions. They're going to have to just go up in the White House and snatch you up out of there.
Well, right now, they say he's in this bunker mentality where he basically refuses to leave the White House because normally he spends his Thanksgiving in Mar-a-Lago down in Florida.
Ah, okay.
See, not this year. I will remain at the White House. See, I imagine you think if he leave, they might change the lot.
Because right? You know what? I'm going to say something about him because he was King Evict the Hood.
Okay, right. When he was a New York land slumlord.
That's right. He was King Evict the Hood.
Yeah. And now he sees how it feels, man.
Man.
But, you know, it's... We're kind of making a joke out of it, but this is a serious, serious matter for national security for the simple reason that, you know, never in the history of this country have we ever had a situation where the sitting president never acknowledged the fact that they lost and reached out to the newly elected president and his staff and administration and tried to put together this cordial transition for the benefit of the American public. It's always about the Constitution. You know, that's the oath of office. It's to uphold the elements of the Constitution. And it's never about the individual. Well, that is different now because the current president has made it about the individual and not the Constitution.
Man, and that's a lot to swallow, and that's a rough... I mean, I look at it, Tony, as when privilege got to bow down.
Yeah. That's it, man. You know, you got to look at what's best for America. If you truly believe in this democratic society and, you know, the founding forefathers, the Articles of the Constitution is really what you are. That is what you need to be working with. And he refuses to do it. You know, he's steady firing people. Just fired the
Secretary
of Homeland Security.
And a couple of his buddies he got rid of.
Okay, yeah, the military, the guy at the head of defense, because they all believe that this process that was used to elect the president was not fraudulent. And it was done, you know, with the intent of counting every vote. And because they voiced their opinion, he fired him. Come on, man. We don't live in that. That's a communist type move, dictator type move. We don't live in a country like that.
Man, I've been reading something lately, and they talked about when you're in leadership, it's two things that happen: love and hate. So as you're teaching, if you're a true leader, eventually, you're going to get people to dislike what you're doing with them. All right?
Okay. Yeah, you're not going to please all the people all the time, right?
Right. So, but then you still got to have a direction where you got this actual thought of being a leader. Then it becomes an idea of being a leader. It's conceptualized into a vision.
Okay.
So now, as you're taking these people on this ride from a thought, idea to a vision, it's going to be some turbulence.
Absolutely.
But the brighter day eventually supposed to come.
Yeah.
Like, let's take it to this. COVID is nothing. COVID is nothing. It'll go away. It'll go away. Yep. It'll go away. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. It's like a miracle. It's going to happen. Miracle.
That was his narrative, right?
Yep.
That was his narrative. We got this under control. Couple of months. Hey, couple of, get a microscope. Get some, laser it out of you, drink some Clorox bleach, or I mean, I was willing to trust the thought of him being the president. if in the beginning. I'm going to tell our listeners, I was believing in the beginning.
Okay.
I was like, okay, well, they trying to go against him. Now, I ain't say I voted for him, but I respect the seat.
Absolutely.
So, when he was anointed, because they make you take the vow with the Bible, as our leader, I said, well, I got to figure out what he's doing so I can still make my skilly economy in my household and in my profession maintain a level where I make progress, right?
Right.
So, I'm looking at this guy's thought of being my leader. Then I seen some things happen. I said, okay, well, that's right. Then I always seen the initiative that he was riding, Tony. I was like, he's always against his predecessors. It's like he don't have no allies in his own country.
None.
Like the Republicans was like, oh, we for him. And then they pretty soon like, hey, put a muzzle on him.
Okay. Yeah, that group that lined up with him. And then the other group said, you know what?
They fell out with him.
That's not what this is all about, man. You know, it's about the American public. That's who we serve. And he has a problem with that. And I got a problem with those Republicans that continue to support that thinking ideology that says whatever he says is right. And that's not the way it's supposed to be, man. Never, ever supposed to be that way. And Barack Obama, who was on 60 Minutes the other night, basically laid it out. Is that, you know, what you're doing is setting you up from a historical standpoint as being the most corrupt, unscrupulous president that has ever lived in this United States. And those that follow him, when their grandchildren's children grow up and read the history books about how they acted during this time, they will be ashamed of these people that we call leaders.
Yep. So then, like you, the way you're talking right now, I say, okay, yeah, that's politics, right?
Right.
I'm like, his family like gotta like him and love him, right? So then his cousin, his first cousin, did like a 60 Minutes on him,
right,
about how he ousted her from like inheritance.
Yeah. And she's no joke. She's a clinical psychologist, so she understands all the nuances of people that's got, you know, behavior issues.
And she took it all the way back to her grandfather. And what she explained was, grandfather was like this. If you wasn't about making him something, you was nothing to him.
Had no use for you. That's where this loser mentality comes in. See, that's why he's having a real hard time with being a loser, because he lost the election. And the way his dad raised him, and the belief that they instilled in him was that if you lose at anything in life, you are a total failure.
Man. So now this is like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Because he goes back to the original trauma that somebody conditioned him to as a kid.
Yeah. He is having some definitely mental problems, man.
Man, it's rough.
Yeah. It's really that way. And I can't see how people can get in line with that.
But then look, this is the flip side of it. If I can spend this election my way, then I don't have to go to jail. Because the way it's looking, because that $72 million tax refund check and only paying $700.
Yeah, and right now he has like his presidential immunity.
That's right.
Okay, but January 20th, it runs out. And the district attorneys in New York, they're sharpening up their knives, man. They're coming for him, all right? They're coming for him, and he knows it. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, he's got his base. Don't get me wrong, right? We look at the amount of votes that he received. He got a substantial amount of votes from the people in this country. So he has a base to work with.
But let me throw this in here. Do we really have a base or do? Because I told you, leadership go like this. I love you and I hate you inside of it, right?
Right.
So when someone sees Biden, and I'm going to take it back to Biden when he had mentioned this, Tony. If you don't vote for me, you don't like black people.
Right.
So I hated that comment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had to retract that.
Yeah.
He's wrong for that.
But I'm like, audience, don't get mad at me. He is the first actual president that preceded a black man and supposedly has a black vice president. So, yeah. So he do got black friends. He do got hot sauce at the table.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
So no doubt. He can kind of like, it's like the way he said that, he probably talked to one of his close friends that's African American. Like, you know you should vote for me.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
You know what who I roll with.
I got history with being with black folks.
That's what
that's. I got history.
So that I look at it like he basically said it like when he was on the Breakfast Club. Like, look, y'all know what it is. Y'all know who I've been rolling with. But the way it came out of his mouth made everybody look at it different. But now seeing the results of the election, I'm like, hold up, he did do what he said.
Yeah.
So now the young lady that was running for president, and she was always big on the student loan debt, she's pressuring Biden to say, hey, come on, with a bipartisan bill, come on, bring it on out.
Right.
Roll it out. Forget this student loan debt. $10,000, $50,000. What's your plan?
Well, yeah, he got some bills to pay now. There's some people that he brought in with his platform that expect to be, you know, taken care of as we move into his administration.
Because their initiatives, they like, look, we've been trying to get this student loan debt handled. So if you show us this, we already know you on the same page as us.
Right.
If you want us to vote for something else, you got to make a move on this student loan debt first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, the thing that I equate with this outgoing administration, and I'm going to put it in very simple terms, it's about drinking the Kool-Aid. And we all know what that reference means, right? Back to Jim Jones. You're always going to get a certain segment of the population, regardless of what you say, what you do, how you act, that will drink the Kool-Aid.
That's right.
And that's what we're dealing with right now in this country, those that are willing to drink the Kool-Aid.
Yep. So my position, look at it like, they like, okay, I'm not gonna vote for Biden because he followed a black man and then he got a black woman. So whatever Trump got, I don't care how bad it is, I'm still gonna go that way.
There you go.
There's some people in that disposition.
There you go.
As I speak right now, like, well, I don't even want to see nothing like that. And some people probably like, hold up, these are not my views. This is thinking that I know people think like just like this.
Yeah, devil's advocate. You talking about how the other segment is thinking. Right?
I don't care what good you got to offer me. I'm not gonna side with you because you preceded a black man.
You was in office with a black man,
and you have a vice president that's African American woman.
Yep.
That was the one drop rule. She got the drop, so she fall into that nationality if she claimed it or not.
Right.
So, but anywhere it goes, it's a minority that never been there. So if I could have blocked that, I'm voting against that. That's the thinking of some people.
Because you know what that means? She is a heartbeat away from being the president of the country.
So now, look, now we're getting deeper and deeper now, audience. Because this is a financial show. So if somebody try to assassinate Biden, you're going to have your first woman minority president ever.
If God forbid, if he just dropped dead, he don't have to get upset. Just drop dead. She is the president. She is the next in line, whether you like it or not. His administration would be sandwiched between two African American individuals, if you will. Pretty good, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we could hold on to this for a long time, man.
I know.
I wanted to let our audience know about, you know, the shutdown that we're currently in, right?
Yeah,
like a soft shutdown.
Because we was on the run, though, with our sports team, so go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we was on the run. And, you know, I think our governor's getting a bad knock.
Everybody deserves her apology now.
You know, I was on the phone with a client today. It's in Nevada. Nevada is in a total lockdown right now, okay? And it's other states that are that way as well. But for whatever reason, our governor has been, you know, the one that they've chosen to go after, to ridicule for making the moves that she's making, which is all politically based, as we know.
And it's hunting season, too, now.
And it's hunting season. Well, we know that she's been in the scope of others here in the past few weeks anyway.
That's right.
But this is from the MHSA talking about completing the football schedule. Take it how you want to. I'm going to just read one paragraph out of it. And us, those that have been in Michigan for a while, you kind of interject your own thoughts about how this plays out. 11-player regional finals and the 8-player semifinals will be played Tuesday, December 15th, and Wednesday, December 16th. That's the semifinals. In addition, 11 player semifinals and 8 player finals will be played December 21st and 22nd. The 8 player championship game at Midland Community Stadium. The 11 player finals will be played Monday, the 28th, and Tuesday, the 29th, at Ford Field. So, for the most part, we got to get through 2 games basically outside in December in Michigan in order to qualify to get to play indoors at Ford Field on December 28th and 29th.
That's a happy new year.
That's a long shot, man. Is that doable or not? I really don't know. Just think about it. You're starting back up on December 16th. Then you play another game December 22nd. And then the finals are the 28th and the 29th.
If I'm an athletic director, I'm struggling right now.
I know that's right.
Man, if I'm an athletic director at any school, I'm struggling right now.
Yeah, I am, man. I really am. I'm having a hard time with it. As much as we love to be at Ford Field, right?
That's right.
You know, you got to play those 2 games outside in Michigan in the middle of December to have your kids try to practice prior to those games and be ready to play. I think we're just doing a disservice to our student athletes.
Because it's not getting any warmer.
Oh, man, come on. We've been blessed, right?
Right.
With the days that we've had. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, I think she had no choice, right? Statistics that I'm getting, especially in Muskegon County, right now is that they've opened up Hackley Hospital again. All right?
Yes, sir.
250 beds at the New Mercy Center. That's the max. 250-bed hospital. All right? Right now, 240 of those beds are COVID patients. The hospital is full of COVID patients, man. That's why they had to come back and open up Hackley for the overflow, because the numbers are still going up. People are still being admitted. I got an email today that 2 people that I know that I've been known for years live in Muskegon County has passed away from COVID this week. And then I seen a post today. Somebody said, you know, go ahead and have your holiday like you've always had it, because it might be the last time you get to see your family and friends. And it was like,
that's a death wish.
Are you serious, dude?
You making a death wish out of Thanksgiving. You turn Thanksgiving into Halloween.
Yeah. Somebody posted that on Facebook, man. Disregard all the CDC, Department of Health and Human Services recommendations as to how we should handle this holiday season. Okay. Because I truly believe, unfortunately, there are going to be people that take that advice. And after Thanksgiving, we'll probably see more cases.
Man, we plan it like this. I'm making me a staycation. I'm going to get, I know a hotel that I always stay at, been staying at during this COVID.
Okay.
Do that. Get me some, what's that? Cheesecake Factory dinner.
Take out.
Hook up the little spot I'm at. Right. And that's going to be our dinner.
Kick back, relax.
Yep.
Whatever TV entertainment that's on TV.
Yep.
And that's it, man.
That's it. I'm just going to get away from another city or something. That's what we're going to do for Thanksgiving. We already got that plan, because I'm not risking it.
No. If somebody show up at your house, it's going to be empty, right?
Yep. I had a relative that left some ear pods in my truck a couple months ago. And I cleaned my truck out and I found them. Then I text him, right? I said, I got your ear pods. I'm going to drop them in your mailbox, because I ain't going to see you.
Right.
Because I'm going to respect this quarantine thing.
Yeah.
You know? Because his mama has, you know, some health conditions. So I'm not going to even involve myself.
Right.
You know? So I'm like, relative of mine, I'm like, I took him over there. I text him. I said, they in your mailbox. So I grabbed some of my family. Like, man, he don't come around at all. Like, no, I'm dead serious about this. If you see me, wave at me, holler at me. I don't got nothing against you, but I want to make sure I'm not infecting nobody, and I make sure I control where I go every day.
Okay.
So I keep the same pattern, I keep the same contacts, and I know who I came into contact with, because it's serious to me. And that's how we have to get, if we want to get back to a new normal, because it's not going to be normal again.
Yeah, well, you know, the vaccines, you know, right, they're all the pharmaceutical companies are coming up and saying they got these vaccines, they're 99% effective, 95% effective. But that is so far down the road as far as the availability of these vaccines that whatever you do now, you won't even be in a position to take advantage of these vaccines when they become available for the general public. Because they're already saying that there's going to be a phase of who will be getting these vaccines first. And it's not the general public, right? It's just like military personnel, frontline workers, doctors, nurses. Those are the people that will be getting these vaccines first. And that's across the country. And you got to administer these vaccines. You know, the other part to that is the refrigeration. A lot of them requires some really deep freeze type of a refrigeration, and the usefulness of the product is limited. It's not like you can keep it forever. It doesn't have a shelf life forever. So there's a lot of logistical type issues that are going to come up when we do have this vaccine available, even for those frontline employees and the military.
There it is. So just think about that. It's serious.
It is, man. It is truly serious, and I just pray that I have no one else in my family, friends, that contract this disease. I watch the news, and they interview these people, these frontline workers every day, and they have been impacted to the point where you wouldn't believe, because a lot of them have been infected. Okay, that's the other part to this pandemic, is those that are charged with taking care of the sick have become sick themselves. So that limits the resources available to take care of those that do come into the hospital that have contracted the COVID-19. So it's just best that you use your faculties that you've been born with when it says that, you know, the stove is hot. Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
You can believe it or you don't have to, but this thing is real, man.
Man, getting into what we talking about. It's real. And then our money is real too. Our finances is real. So I got these tips, 11 solid ways to build your wealth. So just starting out, we start off with number one and get through a couple today. But number one is invest early and often. Invest early and often. So it was a study done, and it said, with GoBankingRates.com, say 43% of respondents of 25 to 34 said they weren't investing in stocks, bonds, or real estate. They cited familiar reasons for staying on the sidelines. They didn't feel as though they had enough money to invest. They feared losing money in the market downturns, or they found investing to be complicated and intimidating. So, but by sitting things out, they're sacrificing two of the most potent forces when it comes to building wealth through investment. And you always say this, Tony, time and compound interest.
That's the key, man. You know, if you look over, you go back in history and look at the performance of the stock market, even its ups and its downs, it has overall has been a very good investment product, especially for the average working man. Okay. We're not blessed with being able to invest millions of dollars. So you have to start somewhere. In the 401ks and the IRAs, where you contribute your $50 a paycheck, $100 a paycheck, or what have you, over time, is still, to me, the best product available for the average working person.
Oh, yes, definitely. Here's an example. Let's say somebody that's 21 years old invests $100 a month towards retirement and earn an average of 8% per year. Okay? Now, I'm going to look at it like this. $100 per month is like $3.10 a day, almost. Less than that. $3.20 a day. 25 cents a day, right?
Yeah.
So $3.25 a day for a hot and now combo. If you do that every day for a month, for a whole year, or until this age, till you're 67, you will have a contribution of $524,000.
That's just a contribution.
That's it. That's just a contribution, right?
Okay.
But if an investor who started at age 30 would just net $254,000 under the same conditions.
So that tells you right there. Start early.
9 years early, and you will have double the amount.
So if you get started late, right, that means you got to double up.
You got to pay the extra.
If the 21-year-old went at $100 and you didn't start till you in your 30s, it means you need to be going at the $200 per month rate in order to achieve similar results.
Yeah, and the way I look at it is, I wouldn't say I get excited about it, but I'm okay with having all my bills paid, having all my investments, having all my charities done, and saying, oh, I only got this much left over.
That ain't a bad feeling.
That is not a bad feeling. I'm figuring it out. That, all right, my investments is on auto pay, my charities on auto pay, and what I pay in insurance is on auto pay for investments in life insurance. But when you look at it on the flip side of it, you're like, hold on. I can remember having those same conversations of talking about, that's too much. Mm-hmm. But then when you spend your time always celebrating on a Friday, mm-hmm. or every time somebody have a party, because you're 21, you there, or if it's the latest gym shoes or the PS5 just dropped, you got to have it. That's $650. The Jordans cost $250. Whoa. The new iPhone costs I don't know how much. Tony, let's go through a calendar year. Because the biggest trick is the holiday season, okay. Black Friday and the TVs and all that. So a pair of Jordans average $200.
Okay,
that's 2 months at age 21. The PlayStation $650. Mm. That's $850.
That you're already in.
If I get those two, if I get the iPhone, that's another $600
at least.
So now my calendar year for saving towards my $525,000 is already set, because I already avoided it because I didn't have the discipline, because I had to have them or gotta have it.
You know, if you are committed to investing, what we're saying, right?
Yes, sir.
And you can do that, and there's additional monies left over to make these other types of purchases, I'm okay with that. But you got to be committed to making those investments that's going to be required when you get older. So if you're doing the $200 a month and you got some extra cash left over and you can buy those Jordans, that's fine. But you don't do it if you're not investing at least $200 a month in your 401k or your IRA. You don't do that. That becomes the number one priority. Because that's your retirement. First thing you want to do, man, is work all your life and can't retire because you have not saved enough money, because employers do not have defined pensions anymore. They told you when you signed up 30 years ago, in order for you to retire, that you need to contribute $150 a pay period, and we're going to match it. So now you're basically getting $300 a pay period. You chose not to do it. And then you retire, you don't have any money.
Yep. Or that match thing, when they match the money.
Come on, man, that's free money. But you got to put yours up first. They just don't give you the 150. It's called the match. Because whatever you feel is necessary for you to get ready for your retirement years, we're going to match whatever you put up.
But, man, that's a long way from now, man. I don't need to be saving my money for that, Tony. I'm 21 right now. I need to live it up. I need them J's. I need that iPhone. I need that PS5. I need to be the man out here.
I said that, too, 40 years ago. But guess what? I realized the vision. And when you do it and you get to be my age and you're looking at your investment portfolio, you say, man, I am so glad I did what I did. So glad. And all my kids have all kinds of the investment vehicles that are going to be necessary when it comes to retirement. And their children already have investment vehicles when they get ready. And they 6 and 7 years old.
There you go. Hey, audience, I wish I was playing with you, but I'm not. And I don't want you to be 67 talking about you got to be a greeter at a place and you need the money.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about being a greeter and be like, I'm retired. I just want to be around some people and laugh and help some people out at Myers or Walmart. We talking about you a greeter and you have to be one. You trying to figure out how to get more hours and you can't even walk. Think about that, because you decided to have the thrill instead of saying, I'm going to have the obedience and discipline to say, I'm just going to take 10% out of my check when I ain't making a lot. But when you start getting to your earning years in your 40s and your 30s and 50s, and you're getting close to retirement, and now you done invested that number times 10, and now you looking at those little, they get the emails now, they get envelopes where they coming in the mail, you open them up and say, your investment is this much.
Okay.
That's being in a space of gratitude. So that it start with obedience and discipline first, and being in a space of gratitude later. And that was number one. Invest early and often.
Yes, sir.
And make it a game with yourself. Like, have fun with it. And just know when it's going to hit. Know when it's going to come. Don't look at it like it's taken away from you. Look at it as it's adding to your life. Because when you get ready to buy a house, when you get ready to do something, they're going to say, do you have any other liquid assets?
Uh-huh.
You're going to be like, hey, I need a down payment for this house or something. Well, I got this money over here that I've been saving. They say, well, you can show that money.
Yeah.
But we got a first-time home buyer program, too, and we got this money over here for you. You just show your assets, and it's going to help you out when it comes to closing on a loan.
And you know why they allow you to do that? Because it's an investment. When you're that first-time home buyer or you're buying your second home, they let you use, or they review those as assets.
Yep, they review them
as liquidity to say, hey, it's okay. We're going to trust you because that shows that you know how to manage your money because you got the assets that are necessary. You could probably pay cash for the house.
Yep.
But don't need to.
But they want to see that. When they see that, they're like, oh, this person been saving for this many years?
Yeah.
Oh, he's serious.
Yep. That's a good risk. We don't have him taking a risk on a guy that can show us a track record of understanding finances and what it is to invest your money and watch it grow.
So people wonder, that's what they want to do when they see that portfolio. It's like a portfolio for a resume, for real.
Yes, it is.
Where your money at? Where you put your money at?
Yep. Can't rip forever, man.
Yep. You can't. Or you, if you are, what are you saving towards?
Yeah, there you go. If you are renting, you need to be put a portion of that money in some kind of a savings, investments, or what have you.
Yep. You got to get to the point where your money got to work for you any way possible.
Yeah, in this country, the tax laws definitely benefit those that do purchase real estate and homes.
Well, I think that's it, Tony. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.